everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Fancast, a podcast for Mavs fans. I'm your host, Sydney, and I'm here with my co-host, Martin.
Hey, guys.
Before we start, I do want to assure you that this is not a one-minute episode. We are actually going to talk about the game. The last one, that Hawks game, we actually did like a 30-minute episode. And then after a while, we were like, you know what? There's just nothing to say about this game.
Well, the Hawks suck.
Yeah, it was like they suck and
we won.
That was, and the Mavs won. Yes. And like there was really nothing to break down because the Hawks suck so much that none of that stuff, not that it's never going to happen again, but it's just.
We're spending more time talking about how we did it. Yeah, so let's just move on.
Okay.
Pacers.
Yes. So the Mavericks beat the Pacers 112-103. This was a good win. The Pacers are 31 and 19.
After the loss tonight, they're 31-19.
Yeah. And I gotta say, like, man, the All-Star break needs to get here because I am tired and I'm not even playing these games.
These players are dropping like flies. We lost Barea tonight.
Curry is out. Luka obviously is out.
Powell.
Plus Dwight Powell. I mean, and then Porzingis at some point was limping, and it's like, no. And that's just injuries. I'm going to talk about, like, watching the games. And I don't know if it's because the Super Bowl just happened, but I feel, like, completely sportsed out right now. But anyways, this game was fun. I tweeted during the game, like, games just aren't as exciting without Luka.
No,
because
they're not.
He's such a showman, you know? Not that he shows off. Well, he's great and he shows off.
It's just showtime every game.
But this game got interesting because we had some clutch time minutes and the Mavericks
actually executed performed well.
Very well. Yeah. I thought their defense was great. There was a sequence during clutch time when the rotations were just on point. I mean, and you don't usually see that out of the Mavs. Sometimes their rotations are late or just not there at all. But this time it was like, it was clean.
They also played a lot of zone tonight. And they I don't know if that's just because their defense over the last like 2 weeks have been probably the worst defense in the league.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're trying to mix it up a little bit or if that was a matchup thing. Because the Pacers don't really, they don't play fast. They don't shoot a lot of threes.
Yeah.
So maybe he just thought, Carlisle thought that the zone was going to be best. It's hard to argue with it. They won, and the Pacers only scored 103 points.
Yeah, they were 7 for 34 on threes. I mean, Oladipo himself was 1 for 10 on three-pointers.
Yeah.
You know, the most threes made was Brogdon, who made 2.
Yep.
So they didn't kill him from the three-point line, which was probably a large part of why they won.
Well, in my opinion, that is why they won, because the Pacers could get a two-point basket pretty easily, and they were doing that throughout the game. The problem is the Mavericks were getting threes, and they just kept making threes on every time the Pacers would make twos, so the Pacers could never really overcome the lead.
Yeah. The big story is Kristaps Porzingis. He had 38 points, 12 rebounds. One steal. He was 2 points shy of his career high, which is 40. 10 for 20 overall, 6 for 13 on threes, made all 12 of his free throws.
Which is a good sign because he had been struggling this year on free throws.
So, okay, here's the story.
Is this about Luka?
Yes.
No, okay. Well, bring it on, man.
Well, just let's talk about it. Luka is out, and so there's two things that come up. Oh, the Mavs won without Luka. They must be better without Luka.
Which is just idiotic.
And it's just, you know, that's not true. So
no,
we don't have to talk about that. But the other thing that I think is a valid discussion, that Porzingis is better without Luka. And I don't think it's valid in a negative way, like, oh, Luka is holding Porzingis back or they don't fit well together. I don't think that's happening. I think they do fit well together. They just haven't quite figured it out yet. So when Luka's not out there, it's easier. It's just Porzingis.
Well, you can see how much Porzingis is sacrificing when Luka's out there because he's just not getting the same shots. He doesn't get the same opportunities that he's been getting since Luka's been out. So you can see that he's been sacrificing. So all these people are talking about how KP sucks, trade him, do this, whatever. He's just trying to do what's best for the team.
Yeah.
But what you see when Luka is out is that Porzingis is a star.
Mm-hmm.
He is. And you can see the potential that Luka and Porzingis will eventually have if they get it working together. It's going to be an unstoppable 1-2 punch because they're so good offensively. So Luka has to find a way to get Porzingis involved. It is his job to do that. Porzingis cannot create his own shot consistently. He relies on others to make plays for him, but he's so good at shooting and finishing off the play that you have to find a way to get him involved. And I think that what you see in this game and what we saw in Houston is that, and before these games, how many times did we see Porzingis set a screen and both defenders go with the ball handler, leave Porzingis wide open, and they never passed it back to him?
Yeah.
Whether that was Luka or any of the other ball handlers.
You saw that in this game too, a little.
A couple of times, but they were looking for Porzingis. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's missing when Luka's out there. They're not looking for Porzingis.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, he took 20 shots tonight, 13 of them were three-pointers. So it's not like with Luka out, they just dumped it down to him in the post, or he was, you know, dribble, pull up, that kind of thing. I mean, he was still kind of doing a lot of what he does without Luka. He just got more shots,
more opportunities. More rhythm shots. Like, he's had games this year with Luka where he's gotten 20 shot attempts, but he would be like 7 for 20 or something.
He would force it.
And
sometimes
I think
he forces it.
His mindset is better. I think, I don't know if he's thinking too much when Luka's out there. When he gets a pass from Luka, he feels like he has to, you know, make that shot. I don't know what's going on in his head. That's not the problem, because that's, you know, 20 years old and 24 years old. They're going to figure it out. What you see is the potential, how good they're going to be.
And I think sometimes, too, he gets tired of just standing there. And so he'll get the ball and he's like, screw it. I'm shooting this.
Yes.
I don't care what we were going to do.
And that's kind of one of the problems I don't like with, or one of the things I don't like with Carlisle's offense, is that they've created this atmosphere that Porzingis is just a floor spacer. And he's out there to create offense for the ball handlers. And I think sometimes as a ball handler, when he sets a screen, they're thinking shoot first instead of make a play.
Yeah.
And that, again, to my point, they miss Porzingis so many times on open opportunities.
Well,
and they just didn't do that tonight.
And it's surprising that they would do that, because he is open.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what it is, they must be expecting the defense to stay closer to him. Like, it's surprising that he is that open.
Yeah.
And so maybe they're thinking that he's probably not, because it's Porzingis. I mean, probably the defender is staying there.
Well, and it shows the threat of Porzingis and a pick and roll with him.
Yeah.
Like, the defenses don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And you saw with the Rockets, they had to just, they didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And even tonight, and I think the game against the Jazz, we lost that game. But Gobert, although he had a monster game, he kind of struggled. The Mavericks were able to get consistent shots because of Porzingis being able to stretch the floor.
Yeah, I think it's, they don't really look for him. And it's surprising how open he is. And maybe that's all it is. But like tonight, whenever they did go to him, he started really torching their defense, mm-hmm. and then they had to stay with him, and then that opened things up even more. So I think you have to go to him to keep the defense honest. Like, if you're not actually going to him and he's not shooting and making those shots, he's not really stretching the floor as much as he could. And once you go more through him, then that really spreads the defense out a lot more.
And I think the only thing that really needs to change when Luka comes back is Porzingis needs to play with the same type of aggression. The same type of freedom of just shooting the ball and not worry about everything else. Just stop thinking. Just play like you're playing tonight. You're going to get 20 shots, even with Luka being out there.
Yeah.
Just play with that same mentality and just play to score, play to win.
Yeah. I thought he had a good game. And I do think that, I think right now it's not perfect. I think Luka and Porzingis have things
to
figure out.
Yeah.
But it's their first season together. We're not even all the way through their first season. And they're both young players. Like, they're figuring themselves out in addition to figuring out how to play together.
And I think also what you're seeing on Twitter, I don't understand it. You know, this thought that Luka is hurting the Mavericks. You know, it's...
Well, first of all, I want to say I haven't seen that by anyone that I'm following.
Okay, I've seen it. I don't know if I'm following them. I've just seen the
comments. I see other people like retweet stuff.
And the only thing I would say is Luka has set the bar so high for what he does that if he goes out there and puts 27-7-7, it's a bad night. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, we need to relax. Like, the dude is amazing, and you should not be concerned that the Mavericks win without him. You should be really happy.
That's a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's what I tweeted out is, like, winning without a player is not the same as being better without that player. Right. Winning without him is a good thing.
Yes.
You know, like, if the Mavericks can win against the Pacers and the Bucks without him and the Hawks too, like, if you can win those games without him on the road, that's a really good sign.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think when Luka and Porzingis figured out, the whole team, when they figured out, and they've had so many injuries, they've played so few moments together, but when they figure it out, they are going to be a really dangerous team.
Yeah, and I don't know if that'll be this year. I think that they'll get better just as time goes on, so that would include this year. But the time when they're really clicking at the highest level they can, that might not be this year, but I think they'll figure it out.
Yep.
And I think the whole, like, Porzingis being better without Luka, I think that's just because they're in the process of figuring it out.
Agreed.
So looking at their schedule coming up, so the Pacers was, like, probably one of the hardest opponents they'll face for the rest of the month. After this, it's Memphis, Washington, Charlotte, Utah at home, so that might be kind of tough, even though Utah has
lost four in a row,
fallen back down to earth. Yeah.
Told you. Yeah. It's going to happen.
Sacramento, Orlando, Atlanta, Minnesota, San Antonio, Miami, that's in Miami, so that'll be a test. Minnesota, or that's into March. I mean, even into March, Minnesota, Chicago, New Orleans, Memphis.
Well, the Mavericks played the tough part of their schedule now.
Mm-hmm.
From that 10-game stretch that we were all dreading, when Luka twisted his ankle and missed.
The first time.
All the way up till this game, they have had one of the, if not the most difficult schedule with the amount of games, the amount of travel, and who they've been playing. And it looks like they've bundled up all those tough games all together. And now, going forward, I think they have, like, out of the remaining 30 games, only six are above 500.
I mean, over this next month, like, taking schedules out of it, because that could fluctuate between, like, some of these, like, at 500 or below 500, but the games that where you're like, okay, that one might be a tough game, I would say Utah and Miami are probably the toughest games.
The Memphis game is going to be tough.
Yes, because that's
Memphis
true.
Has nothing to play for.
Well, and they've grown a lot. Yeah. Like, they're much better than they were when they started the season.
I don't know if they're actually that much better or if teams just kind of sleep on them.
Yeah, I know. They went 11-4 this past month. Yeah.
You know, we'll see. Hopefully they start coming back down. But so you don't want to overlook Memphis in our next game.
Yeah.
It's still going to be hard, especially without Luka. But they don't play defense. So that,
you
know, that'll help the Mavericks out a lot.
So Luka was supposed to miss 6 games. And that was back, starting with Houston?
Yes.
So he's missed 3. That would put him coming back probably against Utah, maybe.
I would think that Utah, what's the one right after Utah?
Sacramento.
I was thinking Sacramento. That one's at home.
Yeah.
And Utah's at home.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say if not both those games, one of those games. You want to get one game before the All-Star break. Because you don't want him to go that long without playing.
Yeah,
now, obviously, he's got to be healthy.
Yeah, and he's going to be playing during the All-Star break.
Now, hopefully, he only plays in the All-Star break and bypasses the
world. Do we know if he's going to the three-point contest or not?
I think the deadline has passed.
I heard he was invited, but I never heard that he said yes.
I love Luka. No. I do, but let's pass on that one this year.
What, because you don't want him to, or you don't think he deserves it?
He's not a sniper.
Yeah, he's a big-time player.
He's a scorer and a big-time player.
Yeah.
But he's not a sniper, and the three-point contest is for snipers. Snipers,
true. It can't be any worse than Wesley Matthews, though.
Nothing can be worse than Wesley Matthews.
Yeah, that when he went, that was embarrassing. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure he will play in the World versus USA versus World game.
Yeah, the good thing is, you don't really exert a lot of energy in either one of those
especially games. Especially Luka.
Yeah, he's not out there to deliver a message like Kyle Kuzma.
It's like if you heard his mic'd up video from last year. It's just,
look, I'm Fox. Look, I'm Fox.
He's just goofing around.
Yeah, and Kuzma, after he dropped
I'm
like 30.
I'm here to send a message.
It's like, dude, you're the only one that's sending him. Everybody else just having fun.
No and one you, even watched this game.
Not only that, you got destroyed. The world team destroyed you.
Yeah.
So I believe the world team won, right?
I don't even remember.
I'm pretty sure.
Like, who cares?
Well, yeah, who cares? Yeah. So, yeah. So hopefully one of those two games before the All-Star break, that way he can get one under his belt. And honestly, you know, the sprained ankle sucks, but he could use the rest for the final stretch of the season.
Yeah, and this stretch is an easy stretch.
Yes.
It's a lot better time to have a sprained ankle than the first time.
Yeah, exactly.
Question. Would you like to see Luka in the dunk contest?
No. No, no, no. He would. You know what? He probably would do a better job than Dennis Smith.
Yeah,
because
Smith,
he'll make his first dunk.
Yeah,
because he'll
Smith
just
really
dunk it.
Struggled in the
he never
in the
made
dunk
his
contest,
dunk.
Which is surprising since
that's
really,
all you can do.
Yeah, his big like strength is his athleticism, and he really didn't do well in the dunk contest. And I was kind of disappointed because I was like, he should be good at this.
I just want to see Luka in the All-Star game.
I think
go
he
out
should...
there, do a couple step backs, get 15, 16 points. Call it a day.
Do you think he'll go for MVP?
No, but I think Trae Young will, because that's just the kind of person that he is. Like, he wants to prove that he belongs there.
Yeah.
And
it's hard, though, because no one really plays a ton of minutes. So it's hard to get MVP unless you're just going to score every time
unless
you have
you're the guy that's like, you know what, I'm going to win MVP
or
this
if
time.
You, as a point guard, if he got like double-digit assists and score, if he had a double-double or
now,
something.
Now, this year, the players might actually play hard. For Kobe,
yeah.
But
that's what I was thinking too.
You know, who knows?
Well, in the new format. Okay, do you want to talk about the new All-Star Game format?
On this, I don't want to confuse our listeners.
Okay, well, it's a little confusing, but
they tried to make it more competitive and do a thing for Kobe. All
yeah,
right.
And also a charity drive.
All right,
it's like making it more competitive and honoring Kobe and a charity drive all in one game that's actually four separate games.
You're
culminating
going into it. You're
in
confusing
one final
them.
Game. But the good thing about it is that there will be a game winner in every quarter. No, there will be a quarter winner. Well, like every quarter is a game. So there'll be like a quarter game winner in every quarter. So that'll be fun. And.
Wow.
Yes, I think that's it. But I think that Luka should be in the dunk contest because he can dunk it.
He can dunk it, but he can't. That's all he can do.
I bet he could jump over like a chair.
Well, yeah, because you could jump over a chair.
Well, thank you, Marty.
Okay, let's not make it weird.
There was that one time that Jeremy Evans.
Yeah, sounds right.
He dunked over Gordon Hayward, who was sitting in a chair.
Yeah, well, okay.
And that one.
Let's move on. The dunk contest is already boring enough. Having a conversation about the dunk contest
I'm just saying,
is going to
be
even
good
more boring.
Okay, so good win. Beat the Pacers. Easy schedule coming up.
So
don't blow it.
What are your thoughts on Brunson?
Brunson... He's a little, like, kind of back and forth sometimes, up and down, inconsistent. But overall, I think it depends on, like, the number of minutes he plays and things like that. But one thing I will say that is consistent is that he is definitely a scorer. Like, he looks for his shot. And sometimes I wish he would look up more while, like, when he was driving or something. Because sometimes he just, he gets in that mode and that's it.
But to be fair, he did make some really amazing passes tonight in the clutch. Now, one of them was waved off from a stupid bogus
charge call. Yeah,
it
was not.
It was just a bogus call. But then another one he made to Dorian, where he actually
basically
made it.
The same play.
Yeah,
yeah. He finished with 9 points and 4 assists, but he was +8.
Yeah, so. I think that Brunson is. I like Brunson. Now, sometimes he makes a boneheaded play.
Yeah.
But I think that's just a result of a second year player and a guy that doesn't really get consistent minutes like you would want from a second year player. I think he's going to be the centerpiece of a trade.
Uh-oh.
Yes. I think the trade is going to revolve around Brunson, Hardaway, Courtney Lee,
obviously, because
that's very super valuable.
It's an expiring most important contract.
Pick yeah. ever oh, is a second round pick that pick. Nobody wants to get rid of because second round picks always turn into stars. Yeah, but
it's basically a first round pick.
I don't care. Like 99% of first round picks are bust. So yeah, to think I'd say that, like
75%.
But still, the percentage is so high. And the deeper you get into the draft, the chances that player... Now, I know you have found... there are players in the league who are drafted in the second round.
Jalen Brunson.
Yes.
Yeah.
But is Jalen Brunson untouchable? Are we talking about a guy that's going to be
the only a thing centerpiece? I'll say is, like, if you're trading Brunson and Hardaway, I don't think there's a player available that's equal to Brunson and Hardaway combined. Like, I think that's a good trade package, but I don't, the guys that I've heard that are available, I don't think are worth that.
Well, what about the late rumors of Zach LaVine?
Are those even rumors, or is that just fans?
It's on Twitter.
Saying,
yeah, but it's I on think Twitter. Just, it's legit. Okay,
that's just fans saying that they want Zach LaVine.
Twitter is legit.
Okay, if Woj didn't tweet it, it's not a real rumor. If it didn't come from Woj or Mark Stein, it's not real.
Buzz Killington.
I think
over
it's
here.
Just fans All right, want fine. Zach LaVine, which well, I mean, yeah. honestly, I want Zach LaVine, but I don't think he's available. So we can do. I want to do a whole pod because the trade deadline is on Thursday, and so we'll know. And assuming the Mavericks do something interesting, we'll do a trade deadline pod, and we'll just break down everything that happened and how it affects the Mavs. But yeah, that's it for this episode. Let us know what you guys thought of the game. I thought it was a good win. I mean, I'm a little tired just because, like I said, I'm oversportsed. But this game, it got fun to watch towards the end. So let us know what you guys thought of it. And also the Luka Porzingis dynamic. Share your thoughts on Twitter. I'm @_SydneyMyers. Marty is @MartinLMyers. Show is @DallasHoopsCast. You can listen to new episodes at DallasHoopsCast.com. There's an article there where we break down the new rules for the All-Star game. So we kind of touched on them. But seriously, if you do want to understand it, there's an article there. But anyway, that's it for this episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. Is there anything else you'd like to say, Martin?
The close was longer than any point we made in the whole podcast.
You mean the outro?
The outro.
This outro?
Yes.
You're saying it's too long?
Just end it.
Okay. Thanks, guys, for listening.
Oh, my God.
And we'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye. Tomorrow in this little shop of ours. You're not promised tomorrow in this little shop.